But when it's Sunday and it's the NFL debut, brother, you can't have 90 people. You can only have the people on your squad that are ready to go to that level. Anybody else, they have to be cut. They have to get waivers. They have to get released, man. And people don't understand that applies to real life. You have to understand, man, that a lot of things that we call normal is simply due to, we're a product of our environment. At ease. I am sold.
Get your glasses up. Get your glasses up. A toast to the men.
Toasters, I have a powerful brother with us today, a creator, a leader. This brother is out here doing God's work. He is creator of a highly viewed YouTube channel, Immortal Minds, Conversations with Soul. He is creator of cinematography masterpieces like The Recipe, Manifestation Masterclass, The Beautiful Faces of Evil, my personal favorite, and The Path. We have the one and only Soul Immortal.
Appreciate it, brother.
How you doing, brother?
Man, life is good, brother.
Good, man, good.
I cannot complain, man.
Man, I hear you, man. Let me tell you first off, like I told you before, man, it's a pleasure to have you with me, to have you with us. I'm honored. I'm humble, grateful, brother. I really am. And before we just dive into it, I want the people to know a couple of things. One, Toasters, when you see my intro, when you see that, put your glasses up, and you see that cognac or brandy or Hennessy glass, I don't know what it is, when you see that twirling, that ice twirling, my brother, Soul Immortal, created that for me. And he saw I was in need of a little pizzazz, man. He has that gift, something I don't have. And I try to get it. I try my best, y'all, but that ain't my gift. And that brother has it, man. So he saw a need, and he extended his hand of giving. And so I'm appreciative of that. Secondly, I want to take the people back or let the people know how I came across Soul. He didn't know I existed, but I came across him. This is about 3 years ago. I wasn't huge into YouTube. I wasn't in social media really at all. But I started watching some YouTube videos. At the time, I was just coming out of going through something, which is in the book. I won't get into it. But I was coming out of that. And I was starting to listen to a lot of guys. And his message really resonated with me. Out of all the guys I was listening to, I might listen to him for a couple of days or a week. And then I'd be like, nah, this ain't really for me. But I kind of stuck with this guy's message and kept going back to his videos. And I told my wife at the time I was getting everything ready for my book release party. And I told Yaya, I said, I don't know what it is, but me and this brother going to do some business together. I said, I just know I'm going to do some business together with this brother. She was like, you think so? I said, yeah, something's just telling me I'm going to do something with this brother. And so I reached out to him, see if he wanted to speak. If he could speak at my event, and people, I had a check for him. I'm saying that to say, don't always have your hand out. Show appreciation to brothers, but I had a check for him. But he couldn't do it. He was going to Mexico with his son. But he said, brother, I would, but I got a vacation trip with my son, and which was the truth, even if it wasn't. So be it. But he didn't owe me anything. But here we go, man. 3 years later, here he's on my platform and speaking to me. So this brother talks about manifestation. And I'm telling you, man, that was manifestation right there, right in front of your face, mm-hmm. brother. Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. So, brother, yes, man, it's a pleasure to have you, man. We see each other at least once a week on Sunday.
At minimum.
With the Power Circle, man. And you've just been a blessing to me and many brothers, man. But let's get into it, brothers. Who is Soul Immortal?
Well, first, let me say this, man. First, I want to say, man, brother, I'm honored to be here, man. I know I don't tell you this a lot, man, but like your words, your videos, your book, your book, man, is life-changing, brother. Once I read that thing, man, immediately, man. I'm on the phone with Lane chopping it. We're going through it. I had to read it again, man. Sure. And I thank you for coming onto my page and us going through that. And one thing I don't take enough to it, man, is just watching you and Yaya. Like, yeah. The way y'all move together, man, people need to see that, brother. Like, just the way y'all move in sync, man. So I just want to say that, man, thank you for bringing me on your platform, brother.
Thank you, bro.
But we say, you know, who is so immortal, man? In a short sentence, brother, all I can say is, as I'm just a man that's trying to, and I don't want to sound cliche, man, I'm just trying to do the mission of the Most High, man. Like at this point in my life, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've had a lot of fun and accomplished a lot of goals. But it's like every day I wake up now, it's more and more about less of me and more about what I can do for the mission, like, of my brothers. Like how can I get my brothers on you know, in a peaceful state? And you know, it's to the point now, it's like if I step on toes doing that, if I offend some people doing that, I'm not trying to do that, man. But it's like, that's my mission now. It's like, once I'm gone, that's what I want my legacy to be, you know, that's what I want my legacy to be, man. So that's really who I am.
Wow. And you say, when if you step on somebody's toes, you don't mean to, but I'm going to tell you this, brother, we got to be, and I understand you being a gentleman about it, and I'm a gentleman. I love being a gentleman to mankind, but brothers out there, sisters out there, we got to be unapologetic about doing our mission, about, you know, doing the work, doing God's work. And I'm not big on religion. And when I say doing God's work, that has nothing to do with religion. But we got to be like that, unapologetic and pushing forward. So this is the biggest question, or the most asked question I get from brothers. Mm-hmm. How do I find my purpose? What is my mission? And how do I go about pursuing that?
You know, I think, you know, for a man to find his purpose, like, it's really multifaceted. Like, a man really has to go back. He has to go to the part, like his beginning. You know, when he first became conscious of him being able to make his own decisions. I don't know if that's going to be 12, 14, 17, but at some point in time, a man has to unlearn everything he's learned and go back to scratch. Now, sometimes the universe will take you there if you're taking too long to get there. But, right. But at some point, a man has to go to the point where, you know, where he just, you know, releases everything. You know, he may have to release some of his friends. He might have to release some of his, friends and family, places he used to go to, man, just to get back to that, you know, ground zero. And once he gets there, man, and gets to back to nothingness, then just sit in the silence for a minute. And then those answers will start coming to him, man. You know, and when I talk about, you know, I talk about purpose a lot. And a lot of brothers I talk to, they'll ask me, like, well, how do you find purpose? And for the longest time, I couldn't answer that, man. I was like, well, you know, I would say, well, what do you love, man? Like, what's your mission? What's your cause? All these questions. But one day I asked a brother, I said, once you leave this planet, what do you want men to still be talking about concerning you? And brother, when I say that to young brothers, instantly they go to a place. They go to a place and they say, you know what? Now I'm starting to understand how I'm supposed to be moving. Because once you identify that's when you start moving in that, man. That's what your purpose is, brother.
Wow. I never even thought of it like that, man. You just shortened my response to the brothers. For real, man. I would give a long answer. But you're right. When I die, what do I want to be remembered for? What mark did I leave? And that simplifies it. That's so powerful, but so simple. Now, I kind of alluded to this a few minutes ago. Something you talk about a lot, and something I talk about ever so often, but I do address it, I think, quite often in the book, religion. What are the pros and the cons religion has done to us?
I will say the pros, man. Like, there are a lot of people that are just anti-religion, and even though I don't affiliate with a particular religion, even though I'm not pro-religion, I can easily identify the pros. Like, you know, concerning myself, I can look back when I was, you know, a teenager and my father had passed on. It was just me living in a single, with my single, you know, single mother household. And in the church, you know, Christianity, religion was my guide, you know, giving me some kind of structure, you know, going to Bible study and going through, you know, the book of Proverbs, learning how the men of the Bible move, you know, whether people believe it actually happened or not. Brother, that at one point in time, that was my only male role, you know, male guidance that I had, man. So I can easily say that religion, you know, is a you know, can be a guide for this, you know, culture of single mothers. I can easily say that religion is getting brothers off of the streets, getting people off of drugs, getting people, you know, off of all kinds of addictions. It's doing that. So there are several pros, man. But when it comes to the cons, in my opinion, the cons far outweigh the pros, like far outweigh the pros. And what I mean by that is, it's like religion has monopolized what they call salvation or eternal life, right? Yes. Like religion is saying that, you know what, if you want to be saved, if you want to, you know, get to the kingdom or eternal life, then you have to go down this narrow path. You know, you have to put your faith in, you know, you have to put your faith in some entity that died on the cross that you never met, but that's the only way you can get to paradise. What that does instantly, man, it cuts a man's communication off with, you know, the direct communication that we have with God or the all, right?
Yes.
It's like we have to go a certain way. You know, we got to understand why he died and the crucifix. It's like this, man. I remember several years ago. This was probably 2006, 2007. I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door, and I have nothing against Jehovah's Witness, but it was a Jehovah's Witness. I think they call them elders. He came to my door, and he was talking, and he gave me this long spiel. You know, we had a good conversation, man. And I asked him one question. I said, you know what? If I'm on my deathbed, and I'm moments away from clocking out, and I ask you, how can I get to heaven? I said, what do you tell me? And this brother went on a 30-minute spiel about blood, about this, and about that. I said, brother, that's where you lose me, man. I said, why do we make it so complicated to connect with God? I said, brother, all you have to do is believe that God is what it says it is and does what it says it does. Nothing else. You know,
right. And
that's my belief. And I just think religion is a good practice to keep people. It's a good practice. You know, when it comes to somebody trying to keep it in line and having some kind of structure, I think it's a beautiful thing. But I think that once a man or woman leaves church, they need to have their own personal mission, their own personal faith. You know.
Yeah.
That's my take on it, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think religion for me is the training wheels of life. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you got to take off those training wheels. And believe in yourself and know I can ride this bike on my own. The God in me is powerful enough to ride this bike without the training wheels. Because when you have the training wheels on a bike, you don't trust the bike. You don't trust yourself. Mm. You trust these wheels on the side of it. And until you take those training wheels off, you'll never know how powerful you are. You know? Yeah. And so, yeah, I was talking to someone the other day and we were talking about what it takes to start a civilization, a community from nothing. And I was saying, you know, a hospital and, you know, you need this and this and that. But then I also said, you know, I'm not big on religion. I said, but if I'm starting a civilization, I do need a place of worship because it does bring order. Mm. You know, it brings order and you need that as a babe. Not even as a babe in the physical sense, but as a babe mentally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. You need that in the beginning until you can get out of that and see the bigger picture and the bigger purpose of your life. But yeah, I think religion definitely plays a part, but we got to graduate from that, I believe. We really do. But yeah, I don't ridicule it down my brothers who practice a religion, and you don't either. Yeah. So yeah, I do have respect. Man. Now, one thing, man, that really drew me to you in the beginning and still today, and I just see the moves you're making, man. I'm just in awe and inspired. And that's entrepreneurship, independence. Mm. I see what you're doing, and I'm big on that. I'm big on being independent. But you're off to another level than I am right now. You know, I got one foot in corporate America still. But so you inspired me to really, you know, get out there full fledged. Mm-hmm. So can you take us down that road to where you said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not working for the man anymore. I'm going to work for myself, but also give to the people on a broader scale. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be independent entrepreneur.
You know what, man? It's crazy because like me growing up, like that's all I saw my mom do. My mom, I remember when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8, my mom owned, I mean, my mom worked for a company called Electro Delta. They made voltage regulators for airplanes, right? And I remember when this company was going down, her and two other employees bought the company. Oh, and from that point on, my mom was an entrepreneur, man. Like I saw that growing up, but at the same time, it didn't stick. Like I never saw that and said, you know what, that's how I want to move. I just never did. And it just surprised me. The thing for me that really stood out is when I got in my 20s, I was probably 18, 19, man. I had a job, and it was before I joined the military, and I saw a lot of brothers that were in their 30s, 40s, 50s that were masters at their craft at this plant. And I saw a very young brother, maybe 24, came in, didn't know nothing about it, came out of college, they put him in position, and he was just pretty much cracking whips, man. And I was like, I don't want to be in that position. And then not too long later, man, they start laying these old schoolers off, man. And, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s, you know, where they're going to go? Been with the plant for 20. So I said, you know what? I don't want to be in that position. So I didn't know how my life would plan out, but I knew that I was going to have to do something at some point to not be in that situation, right?
Right.
But the thing that changed for me, bro, was like I started having a desire to be an entrepreneur, to step out and do something and just do my own thing. But I think my motivation was wrong. I was like, you know what? I want to step out, man, and get the bag and be successful and all this stuff. And me having that mentality wouldn't let me tap into the things that I needed to tap in to make that kind of move, man. So I was just spinning my wheels, want to do this, want to do that. This is when things changed, bro. Things changed when I got put in position when my son said, you know, my son was 11 years old, right? My son said, Dad, like, I want to come live with you next year. And at the time, I was working in corporate America, man. I had a good job, man. But the thing is, my job had me traveling 3 weeks out of a month. And I'm sitting there single, man. So I'm like, bro, like, I can't tell my little man he can't come stay with me.
Right.
And I said, you know, so I you know, my mission changed. My why changed, brother. So I was like, you know what? I said, all this stuff I've been studying for years, because I started studying all this manifestation stuff at about 24, 25, man. I said, all this stuff I've been studying, I said, it's time for me to stand on it fully. I said, either I win or I'm homeless after this is over, right? So I just started the whole creation process, man. Like I just started taking the steps, you know, one by one, putting myself in position, changing my mindset, you know, and over time, brother, my old world started to crumble. And I always talk about, and I don't want to get off into the whole manifestation thing, but
right.
But I always talk about when a man see, you know, when a man is creating a new world, his old world starts to fall down. Once I knew I was on the right path, man, but I was top salesman globally for a few years. Once I started becoming something else, that world started to crumble. And even though it looked bad, I was excited because I said, you know what, this new world is coming. Even though I didn't know how it was going to look, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just trusted the Most High, man. And like, right. Like that's why I'm so passionate talking about God now and all, because I've stood on that and came out. But to get back on it, man, like I just changed my why. And this is the thing, man. Like for the longest, I was saying, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur. What do I want to do? You know, everybody gets out here talking about, oh, I want to do Amazon shipping, I want to do da 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 da. And those things are solid. You can make big money. But the thing that I learned, you know, just by studying, like the way that the Most High blesses us is simply by us expanding on who we are. Like even if there isn't a career around it, I said, all I have to do, man, is be soul. You know, and just expand on soul, man. And once I started doing that, man, even not knowing how it was going to work, man. Once I did that and start removing myself to the silence, moving my energy, move to the silence, just over and over, but those downloads started coming. Like ways to make money, like that I had no idea, just began to land in my lap, saying, brother, these opportunities had always been there, brother. So wow. I just stepped in that, started moving in that, and trusted it, and it just panned out, man. It got to a point where all I had to do was just be myself, wake up, wow, and share my life experiences. And it's crazy because like I remember when I first started making this move, like family members or close friends or relatives, you know, when I would tell them what I do, it was like, that don't sound right. Like, how can you still make a living? It's like, bro, it's like, it's faith.
Right.
It's faith in condition. So really what I had to do, man, to make a short answer, I just had to change my programming. Like my mental programming was set. You got to think like if, you know, if I worked for someone from 15 years old to 42 years old, it's almost like somebody going to prison for 30 years. Like I was institutionalized, man. Like I had no other, in my mind, there was no other way to make a living by, except by going and, you know, quote unquote, punching the clock, getting a job done, even if it's a good money, and going back home. Right. Once I changed my truth, once I said, you know what, I can make my own money, even though I don't know how, man, just trust the process and move in it. Brother, man, life just changed. And I'm not gonna lie, bro, I'm not gonna lie. Three or four times out of the week, I wake up, man, and bro, I'm in awe on my life, because this is what I wanted. You know, once my mission changed from wanting money, right, all I wanted was time. I said, all I wanted was time, man. Like 24 hours is a long time once you understand, once you're doing it for yourself. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
All I wanted was time. All I wanted, and this was my meditation, bro. My meditation, when I first said this is what I want to get, all I pictured in my mind was waking up in the morning and taking my son to school. Like, that was my meditation, taking my son to school. Because I knew if I was in position to do that, that I would no longer be at that other job and that I would be in a free place. And brother, right, it's like every morning, every single morning now, I get up, man, and I go and get in the car waiting on my son to come out, and I'm just thankful, brother. Because I'm saying, I say, man, there was a time where I saw this in my mind, but I had no idea how to get here. And I just followed the steps, followed the process, man, and it came to be, man. So for me, it was programming, and I just wanted time, bro. Time is everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you took off those training wheels, man. That safety net. you know, you trusted yourself, and you followed the path, man. And I know, brothers listening, sisters listening, saying, well, that's easier said than done. Man, what's the alternative? I mean, you gotta look at, okay, if you keep going down the road you're going, how are you gonna be remembered? And man, I'll tell you, man, I resonate with that. So as a kid, I'm talking about as a kid, man, I knew I wanted to leave my imprint. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how. I really did. I just like, I wanna be remembered. I wanna know, yeah, people know I walked this earth. You know what I'm saying? And I was young, man. I was like 12. I just knew, man, I just don't want to pass, because I used to watch people die. And, man, people are forgotten. Like, mm-hmm, like, man, I'm talking about after a week.
Yeah.
Or they end up selling grandma's house. So the house, mm-hmm, is now gone, too. It's like,
yeah,
dang, man, like, grandma's forgotten. You know, it's like, dang. So I want to leave something. You know, imprint, spiritual imprint, intellectual property that my spirit is in. And so people remember me, man.
Yeah. You know what else? You said something, man, like you said, you know, something that you resonated with when you were young. This is something else that I understood when I was young. I had to be somewhere between 6 years old and 8 years old. Wow. And I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and a Sunday school teacher was teaching. And I was looking at a picture on the wall, and the picture was of Jesus, but that had nothing to do with my thoughts.
Right.
But I said, you know what? This whole thing that we're being taught, and I'm 6 or 8 years old, bro. I said, this whole thing, mission and salvation and all this stuff we're being taught, I said, I don't know what truth is. I said, but I know this is not it. And I said, at some point in time, it's going to be exposed to me. And that's what, and I didn't, in my mind, I wasn't saying that's going to be my mission. But right, I said, that's what I'm going to fall in love with. Whatever that truth is, I'm telling my brother, I wasn't even 10 yet. I said, whenever God shows that to me, I'm going to fall in love with it. I knew that, man. And even though I went through my whole teenage years, going to church, but I was Wednesday night, I was usher board, I was deacon. Even though I knew that, I knew at some point in time, there was going to be a knock on the door saying, hey, it's time. It's time to start exploring something else, man.
Wow.
So, yeah, this religion, bro.
Yeah, yeah, people, if you don't take anything else, take what the brother said. He had to find his why. He had to reprogram himself, and he had to step out on faith. Now, let me tell y'all, when you do that, that's not saying you won't fall off the bike. when you take off those training wheels. That's not saying that. That's not saying you won't skin your knees. That's not saying you may. That's not saying you won't go through a moment where you thinking about putting the training wheels back on there. I've seen people do that as a kid. It's like, you ain't ready to put the training wheels back on there. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that. And I'm telling you, man, don't put the training wheels back on there. Yeah. You got to go through it. You're going to be all right. I'm telling you, you're going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And you'll look back and laugh and cry tears of joy. And so, yeah, man, just keep the faith and keep pushing. Now, so this is something I talk about a lot. You talk about a lot. And, man, this is the male-female dynamic, man-woman dynamic. Man, this, in my opinion, this can be the most challenging and the most rewarding relationship that we can have from men and women. What is the problem? I know you talk about this a lot. What is the problem, the main problem or problems we face and really coinciding and connecting with one another? And what's the solution? What's the recipe to resolve?
Man, I think the problem is, and I'll be honest, bro, like this is something that I'm still learning on a daily basis, man. Like, and to be honest, I really wasn't even on the right. I wasn't even close until I was over 40 years old, 41, 42 years old.
Me too.
But I think the problem is, bro, I don't think we really understand. When I say we as a whole, the collective doesn't really understand what a relationship is really supposed to be, like the purpose behind it, the power behind it. Like we're so trapped into, you know, being attracted to someone because she got a big, you know, donkey or whatever, that we really completely lose what a relationship is. Even when two people get together and love each other, it's like okay, we love each other, but if we don't have that connection, because there's a difference between being attracted to somebody and being connected to somebody.
Yes.
Brother, once you're connected, brother, it all makes sense to me. But the thing is, a man has to be in the right mindset, right? And it goes back to the whole blue pill, red pill dynamic. Like that's a very important piece, man. Because like when you talk about brothers being blue pill, like you know, with us being like whole single mother situation or single parent household, let me say that. Like that's fairly new. That's a new thing.
Right.
And you gotta understand, like my age, like we're the first pretty much wave of brothers coming out of that. So we're the product of that. So we're the product of really not knowing what having a man in the household was like. So a lot of brothers are blue pill. That shifted the dynamic. Because now we're asking women to be certain things to guys that can't even tap into their masculinity. And then that kind of just threw everything where, and I'm not saying that's the beginning of it, because it goes way back. But then, you know, the dynamic has always been back and forth. That caused women that's caught, you know, react a certain way. Now men are going to the complete opposite end. Now they're red pill.
Right.
And now they're like, you know, now we have control again, but it's too far. There's no balance, right?
Right.
And you know, if you listen to a lot of guys, and it's not all red pill content, but I can have some red pill guys come on my channel, and they'll say, if I make a video about women or relationships, they'll say, hey, you know what? There's no sense of saying this. Leave all women alone. And they'll think that that's the right move. But it's like, brother, think about what you're saying. It's like, if that's the right move, then in 100 plus years, we'll be extinct.
Right.
If every man just shuts down and stops talking to women. Like so, brothers, you have to understand, that's not the right answer.
No.
But again, man, I think red pill community, red pill information, even the harsh red pill stuff, I think it's needed. I think it's keeping brothers from taking their lives. I think it's letting brothers recalibrate. But the thing is, you can't stay there. You can't live in that energy, man. You got to go there and vent and heal and then come out of it, man. And the thing is this, man, and I'm saying, like, I'm just now really understanding, brother. And a lot of it, like, I can look at you and Yaya, man, and I can see that balance, man. I can see when y'all talk. Like the first time I saw y'all communicate, I can see you in your dominant masculinity, and I can see her femininity, and I can just see the cohesion. And I was like, bro, you don't see that a lot, man.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, but I'm just now understanding later in life that dynamic. But here in the last year, what I'm understanding now, man, bro, like I understand now why, you know, the system, you know, wants men and women apart. I get it now because I understand that once if a man is in balance and a woman is in balance and they come together, brother, that's where God lives.
Man.
Like that's where God lives. You know, and that sounds like cliche, you know, where two people are on there. Brother, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
If you have a woman that's tied to your purpose, pointing you, brother, there's nothing you can't do.
Nothing.
And I was saying that before I even experienced it because I knew it to be true. Once I experienced what it felt like for a woman to pour into me, man, and saw my world multiply, right. I understood it, man. And I said, this is why they want to keep everybody apart. This is why our music is about B's and H's and da-da-da-da-da. Because if we all come together, man, and link up and connect, bro, right. like the world would change overnight, man.
Overnight.
So in a nutshell, man, like I'm just not understanding the dynamic, man. And I understand fully now that when a man and woman come together, like once we get past all this toxic stuff we're talking about and two healthy people come together, man, like it goes back to what Napoleon was saying in Outwitting the Devil.
Right.
When he was talking to that source, you know, he was in tune. He was, you know, and he asked that entity. He said, "How did I get here?"
Right.
He said, "It's because of your wife. Like y'all came together, brother. Like you're superhuman now."
Yes.
You know, yes. And I think that even some people that are married and happy and loving, some people still don't understand what that's like because they're still like, you know what, boo, fine, or well, my husband's, you know, 6'5" and chocolate, so right. I love him, and that's a good thing. We got beautiful kids, but right. If you don't have that connection, brother. But once you experience it, it's like this. Once I experienced what it was like to have a connection with a woman, brother, all that other that physical stuff, right. it became secondary instantly. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, you think, yeah, we, you know, but if we don't have that oneness, it's like, man, right. I have no smoke for it. Like I have no interest in you. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Man, yeah, relationships are a powerful thing, brother. Powerful.
Man, I agree. I don't know if most people realize this, men and women, that in my opinion, like the woman is the supercharger. Like I could do some pretty awesome things by myself, but connected to my wife, I've done some extraordinary things, man, that I'm telling you, people would think I made it up. You know, they would think I made this stuff up, man, the things I've done. And it just, you know, I go to another level. And I used to wonder why, I always wanted my wife with me. You know, when I would go out, and then I finally realized, I was like, man, you know what? She balances me when I'm out. Cause I'll be real, brother. I could be sometimes super aggressive, a lot of masculinity in me, you know, and I hate to use the word alpha, but even the brothers that are drawn to me and I'm drawn to, like we have a certain thing in common, right? And so it could be a lot of testosterone. So when I got my wife with me, man, it just brings me down. It just gives me some balance, man, when I'm out here walking this world, brother. It really does, man. And
you know what else, man?
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, too, and I'm just now learning this late in life. A man had, and I thought about that when you talked about the whole, you know, you walking too much masculinity and balance you out.
Right.
Like a man has to know how to utilize a wife.
Mm.
Like, there's no sense in having a powerful tool there if you don't know how to use it. And if a man is too much in his chest bumping and da-da, I'm the man, I'm saying everything right, he might as well be single, bro.
Yeah, he lost.
Like, I'm telling you, like, once a man, you know, and I don't want to say come down, but once he understands that his wife is a tool for him, that she's there to help him,
right.
It can put her in a position and energy to do that. Brother, your woman can pour so many nuggets in you, man. She'll have your cup overrunning, brother.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm just now learning this in life, man.
Yeah, you man. Know. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's old, man. Sometimes when I have to go to these mixers, entrepreneur mixers or different types of mixers, man, sometimes I'll send my wife through the door first.
Yeah.
Or even before we were married, I just wanted to test her to see if she could be what I needed. Mm-hmm. I asked her to go to this mixer by herself. And she was kind of nervous. You know, she had never done anything like that, but she did it. And she was a success. But the thing is, man, my wife is very feminine. Of course, she's beautiful, but she's very feminine. And she's a people person. So she'll light the room for me sometimes because I might rub people the wrong way because I'm so direct. I'm so direct. You know, I've been called an a-hole. I'm very direct, but I think I'm tactful, but I'm very direct. Where she, you know, she's kind of different. So she'll lighten the mood for me. Then I'll walk in sometimes, depending on the situation. And then, hey, man, that table's already set, man.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
Like a woman has to be, she has to be like your reflection.
Yes.
She has to be you in a different body, man. You know, and there are a lot of men that are married, that are in quote unquote happy relationships, but they don't trust their wives enough, for one, to be in a room with a bunch of men,
right?
Or to represent them. It's like, you know, I know some brothers that it's like, if you're not with your wife, she might be wilding out a little bit. Just because you're not there.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you can't move like that. She has to represent you.
Yeah.
Like when you're not there, like before, not even if you're not there in a room, if you send a wife to a mixture because you got to be at a different event, when they look at you, they're saying it's the booker. They're like, okay, you know.
Yes.
On top of that, once you pass away, if say, for example, God forbid, you pass away before her, she's still representing you.
He's still representing you, man.
Still. I use the Martin Luther Coretta Scott King scenario all the time. Most of us, the majority of us, never saw Martin Luther King in person, but it's like we all know him personally, strictly because we can see how his wife still moved when she was alive. The way she carried herself was like, oh, okay. Like that's who Martin was. Now I can listen to his message and close the loop. You know, it's powerful, man.
It's powerful, brother.
You is powerful.
Yeah, what's that scripture, man? I think you quote this a lot. Is that Proverbs 31, which says the people in the city, when she walks through the people in the city, the people at the gate respect him.
Yeah,
because of her, I believe. I didn't butcher that.
It is something like that. That's a powerful statement, bro.
That's a very powerful statement, man.
I didn't even experience something like that until after 40 years old, man. So, you know.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, though, man. It is, brother. So I know, you know, we can't technically talk about the view of a woman, but from the other side, what are some misconceptions that women have of men that they think or the women think are so important that from a man's perspective that we want or that we need? I mean, like, man, we're not even tripping on that. We want this at the end of the day.
I think it's going to be different for every man, but I think like I can say for myself, man, I know it can be a challenge to be a woman, to you know, for single women to get out here in these streets and looking for a man or a husband and have to move, and they have women to compete with that are you know, getting work done and getting all this stuff done, and they're walking in this energy, you know, when some women just want to walk in their natural femininity, you know, they don't want to go extra above and beyond. So I would say that a woman would just be herself, you know, as far as, and I'm not sure if I'm answering that right question, brother.
You're on the right track.
To be themselves. But this is what I think, as far as like what women need to really understand, man. Like, you know, and it comes down to this whole submission thing, right? Like, you say the word submission, and half the women in the room, they shut down.
Right.
They're already out the conversation.
You done cussed them out.
What women don't understand, man, is that them being submissive is their superpower.
Yes.
Like once they submit to a man and pour that energy into him, but there is going to be very few women that can even catch his eye.
Yes.
But because that's what a man means. Like her being submissive is how she reciprocates back to that man.
Yes.
Like it's almost like her being submissive is almost the check and balance. Like when a woman is like, oh, my man might be in these streets and he might leave. It's like, no, if you're submissive to him and giving him the energy, sister, he ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
That's because once you leave, now he's a weaker link now.
Right.
It's like you're his superpower by doing that. So I think women need to understand that, man. And I get it. In this world we live in, it's hard for a woman to submit herself and understand what's taking place. But if the right woman does it in the right way to the right man, that's what's going to make her you know, that's what's going to cement her position in, man. Right. I also think that, you know, when a woman talks about, you know, being in a man's life, it's about, you know, it's all, you know, everybody talking about bringing something to the table and all this stuff. Right. I think all a woman needs to do, man, is be a woman that man can't live without. Like that's what's going to separate a woman. And I'm using that from my personal experience. Right. I can think back when I was dating, you know, a number of people and that, you know, over the years, like when a man crosses a woman that he can't live without. And I really mean, like, I mean, of course, anybody can live without anybody. But what I mean is, like, once a woman exits your life, like, if your life changes so much where it's like, bro, like I understood what she was doing for me now, right. You know. So, like, once a woman understands to be that, and that a lot of that is being submissive, being supportive, pouring into him. And a lot of women don't understand that once you do that, then all this stuff you want from a man, oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
But because the way we're made, we love to give to our women, man. Like yeah. It's a joy to take a woman out on out to eat or on a trip or buy her whatever she wants. Like, that feels good for a man to do. Yes. If a woman is pouring into you, brother, like we like that.
We like, you know, that, man. We will sit among our brothers and just casually say, like, casually stunt. Yeah, man, I went on and got her that BMW, bro. Yeah, man. Yes, yeah, it set me back a little bit. Well, I went on, yeah. But we really stunned. Like, yeah, I went and did that for my woman. Yeah. Like, we love to give to that woman. Yeah.
It's in us, man. I think a lot of women need to understand it, because you got a lot of women now that are saying, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, just the whole culture, the whole city girl culture. Mm-hmm. They're saying, oh, you know, we want the bag. And they're saying, you know, we low-key want a man. But it's like their wires are tied up somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, you just chill for a second and give to that man that all that stuff you're wanting is coming your way. Yes. Like, it's coming your way, man. So yes. women just need to really understand those things, I think, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Let's deal with that for a minute, because mm-hmm. I think women and men may still be lost mm-hmm. on that. The word submit, submission, mm-hmm. submit. To me, that word means being open to receive in a righteous position, being open mm-hmm. to receive in a righteous position, but also mm-hmm. after you receive that, being able to incubate and birth that back to the man.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy, bro.
Yeah. And that seed, from the physical seed, mm-hmm. from the spiritual seed, the heart seed, whatever, receive. Mm-hmm. A woman has to be in a righteous position to receive and then be able to incubate and give that back, reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm. I think that, bro.
I think that's where we get lost, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And you're right. It's a two-way street.
Yes.
And I think a lot of men don't understand it's two-way
street. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, a lot of men getting that, you know, beneath me on the, it's like, bro, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, you're the leader. You're already quarterbacking.
Right.
Like, you ain't got right. the chance. You in right. charge.
Right.
You in charge already. So, you yeah. know, it's like to me, man, submissive, it's almost saying, I'm going to love you as if I would love myself.
There you go.
And that opens up all gates. It's like, if I'm pouring into you and you pouring into me, it's like, we're closing that gap. It's like, that's the unity, man.
Yeah, I agree,
you know,
bro.
I don't want to say it hurts me, man, but it just, because I've been in a stage, you know, back when I first started making content, I was making content. I don't think I was ever saying all women are like this. All
no.
I was in a space one time where I was, you know, going through a hurt, angry space. And I was like, man, we got to be careful. Women are good, and we still have to be careful.
Yeah, right.
But I think once a man heals and starts to understand, like, brother, it's a beautiful thing, bro.
It is.
You know what's weird, though, man? This is what I know. Like a lot, when I talk to a lot of younger brothers, like 25, between 25 and 30, the culture now in that age, it's almost blasphemy to say you like women. Like,
yeah. Like
if a young brother says, yeah. hey, I'm in a relationship in the wrong room, oh, yeah. man, he's going to get attacked.
Oh,
you got
yeah.
a girlfriend?
That's a crazy thing,
like,
man.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
And dang, like when you really think about that, man, it's something really wrong with that.
Yep.
It's something really wrong with that, man. But, well, yeah, all we can do is play our part And it's gonna reach somebody. That's all, you know, that's all we can do, brother. Now, in the beginning of our conversation, I asked you who is soul immortal. But what's your take on, as a collective, as a people, the human race, mankind? Like, who are we? Who are we? And as a collective, what should we be doing?
You know what, man? I think when you say who are we, man, this is really the only way I can answer, man, is that we are one body, man. Like, and this is the thing. This is the thing. Like I made a post the other day. I don't know if it was a tweet. And I said, when we pass away, a lot of people are gonna be surprised to see Hitler and Martin Luther King in the same space.
I caught that.
I said Kirk Franklin and Luther Campbell, Luke Skywalker. And then I said somebody else. I said Trayvon
George Zimmerman.
And Zimmerman.
Yes.
We're gonna realize that they're one, man. Like,
yes.
Like, and again, this is something I'm just now starting to grasp, man. It's like our goal here is simply to, again, you know, move in our own expansion, like find out who we are and expanding that. It's like if everybody is moving like that, this world will look completely different. The whole industrial revolution, the whole school system, everything would change, man. So I think who we are is to move in that energy. But once we understand, I think the thing that keeps us from moving in that energy is really understanding what the Most High is.
Yes.
And a lot of that goes back to religion, but I think the thing that keeps us separated is us pointing to a Most High. And this is something real dangerous, brother. Like pointing to a Most High and giving that Most High an opposite or something that opposes it or pole. What that does internally, it plants a seed to start separating you from everything else.
Yes.
It's like if you don't understand that all is one, then it's like you're really not saying you know who God is. If you're saying, okay, my God has an opposing God, devil, that plants a seed in you that there's some separation all over the world. It's like, brother, we gotta go one step higher and put everybody in one bubble.
Right.
Because to say that my God has the opposite, what a person is really saying is that this is not the all.
Exactly.
Because if it's the all, then there could be nothing that consists outside of this.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds like I'm going off topic, but it's a seed that plants and you live like that.
Yes.
So once you tap into something that has no opposite, it's like, man, now I can look at the world and see love in everything.
Yes.
Even if it looks evil, even if it looks like it's against me because of my skin color, like, yeah, that's bad and we need to deal with that.
Yes.
But when I separate from that, man, it's like it's still included in this whole thing. Yes. I don't like it, but it's still me. It's still a portion of my reflection.
Exactly. You know what exactly. I mean? Yeah, you're right on point, brother. Now you're right on topic, actually. And I talk about that a lot. See, that's next level of consciousness. That's a whole nother level to where when you can perceive yourself in something total opposite of what you stand for, believe in, but you can perceive yourself in that. See, that's love.
It's love.
That's love, bro.
That's what it is. That's
God,
what it is love.
God is love, though.
Yep.
Yeah, that's love. Like, and so I keep my opinion on certain things to myself because people won't understand it. But, man, some of the people, I'll just keep it like this. Some of the people have done some of the worst crimes, violated people in the worst ways. We have to be able to perceive ourselves in them and know that we may have a different understanding, be at a different place, but we're not above them. And it's not like we're above, not capable of going there because they are us and we are them. We all come from the source. And depending on what's been instilled in you and your experiences and what you've encountered on this path, it can determine which way you're going to go and your perception of things, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
you know what?
Yeah.
You know, even like to see something or somebody that opposes you, let's just say it's due to my skin color, anybody's skin color.
Right.
For a person to have anger and say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to resist this. They don't understand. They're putting the cage around themselves.
Exactly.
Because you, by you pouring that emotional energy into being angry or whatever you want to call it, like that's killing your creative power.
Yes.
Because emotional energy is creative power. So instead of creating your world, you pouring your energy out. say, you know what? I want to be mad at you. I'm mad at you. You hate me. Da, da, da. But, you know,
right.
It's like, bro, now you're stagnant with change tied to everybody instead of just releasing it and just creating, man.
Yes. You know. Yes. Yes. It's like having a color. Yeah. Like, it's like you're a creator. You're out here to create. We're out here to create, man. And it's like we're working with a 24 box color collection. But we saying, man, I got something against brown or tan colors. So I'm not using these colors. I'm going to work with 16 of them. You're limiting your ability.
Yeah.
You're really limitless, but you have limited yourself because of your mindset. Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy stuff, man. Now, man, this is something dear to my heart for a couple of reasons. Because you extended an invitation to me, a couple of invitations. First, to join, and then second, to be an ambassador. And that's the power circle, brother. Let me tell you something, man. Man, I can say a lot about this, but let me tell you something. I know within the power circle, I don't really say a lot, you know, unless I'm speaking, I'm leading the show, whatever that particular night. But sometimes I like to just sit back, man, and just listen to brothers and get different perspectives. Because we got brothers from everywhere, Ghana, the UK, Switzerland. I mean, just everywhere, man. The rural areas, the hood, you know, East Coast, West Coast, everywhere, man. Black, white, everywhere. You know, Italian, Spanish, whatever, man. You can name it. We got it in the power circle, and these brothers are gifted in different things. So sometimes I like to just sit back and take it in. But this is a beautiful thing, man, you've created. And let me tell you, man, sometimes, and I know I missed last Sunday, but even before that's my first time missing, I believe. Or maybe I missed two. But sometimes, man, I'd be like, man, I might not catch this one because, man, I'm tired. But then I'm like, nah, man, I'm going to miss something, man. I'm going to miss something. Yeah. So I go only dial in, man. I don't want to miss something.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man. Recently, it used to be like once or twice a month, but recently it's been once a week. Somebody is hitting me up to join the power circle, man. And brother, you have created something, and that energy is just radiating. That frequency is going out from all over and bringing brothers in. What motivated you, man, to create the power circle, brother?
You know what, man? Like, to be honest, in my mind, I said, you know what, man, we, you know, us men, like 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, man, we have to stay in a certain mode because we are the leaders.
Right.
It's like leaders can't take a day off. Right. You know, sometimes, you know, our women and our children can kind of just say, you know what, I don't want to be no role today. I don't want to, you know, a man, even on his worst days, still has to be the quarterback, man.
Always.
So I said, man, we need a space, even if it's just for 1 hour of a week, 2 hours out of the week, man, we can come. And just you know, drop all of the egos, drop all of this stuff that has us compete in the world, and just get in a space where we can learn from each other. Like how does this brother, like, what are you experiencing? And what, I'll be honest, bro, I had no idea that it was going to turn out the way it's turning out now.
Wow.
I really had no idea, but like I said, it's just a place for men to come in and drop the egos where iron can really sharpen iron. And the thing is, It's difficult for us to be in rooms, or it's difficult for us to be on certain platforms and social media and talk about certain things because if women are in the room or present or in the feed or whatever, then a lot of men are like, okay, brother is just saying that, or a brother can't really be himself because a woman is in the room.
Exactly.
But when you take that out, man, just put just men in the table. Men can be emotional. Men can say, hey, man, you know what? Like this is what I'm going on in my relationship. This is how I feel about my finance. You know, it's a room where it's a place where men can be vulnerable for one, man. Like that's the place. And I ain't gonna lie, brother. Like that, I get a lot of energy behind sharing experiences with other men when it's just men in a room. But what it's turning into, man, what it turned to after like a month or so, it began to turn into like a mastermind by default because it's like even when I got off that call, I can still feel the energy of brothers in the room.
Right.
And it was like, after, you know, when I first get on the call and we start seeing screens pop up, it's like, brother, I can feel y'all, man. It's like, I can feel this energy. And like I was saying to my brothers last week, I said, man, this energy is built. We all have similar mindsets now. We all have similar missions now. Like, there's a frequency around us.
Yeah.
So when you go out in the world and you're facing problems, you're making decisions, I said, brother, you have the strength of a number of men behind you because you're in this atmosphere, brother. That's not even religious or spiritual. That's scientific.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You put a lot of things in a room and they're circulating, talking about the same things. They become one body. That's what the church is, man. It's a body of people. Yes. And that's what it's become. It's become a vibration. And I think we really need to start going in that more, man, how we need to all start moving in that, like understand what that is behind us, you know?
Yeah, it's powerful,
it's a
bro.
Powerful thing, bro.
It really is. And I'm telling you, man, I know I have a chapter or a dream in the book that talks about, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. But just being totally transparent, I grew up playing sports, so I know about team concept, right? And I was a point guard, so I know about giving, you know, that type of thing, dishing out, delegating, that type of thing, right? Leading. But working with a group of men hasn't always been the easiest thing for me, bro. I'll be real with you. So I was kind of skeptical at first, and then, you know, I got in, and I don't know if it's the timing in my life, my understanding has expanded, or you know, your leadership that brought this together and the bodies in it, or a combination of it all, man. But I shocked myself. I shocked my wife that I was part of it, man. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, I want to thank you for that, brother. I really do.
And I can relate, man, because like before that, you know, it was not common for me to just sit down and have a conversation with a group of men. Because, and this is the reason why. Like, I always felt, like overly protective of my energy. And that's mainly just because I'm an empath, man. And I didn't learn that till like in my late 30s or 40s. Like I can't put myself in certain situations with certain men. Not that I don't like doing it or hanging, you know, it affects me.
Right.
Like it really affects me, man. So that's why I was always back, you know, I kept that. But when you get men in a certain room that vibrate a certain place that are trying to, you know, be great, man, and learn more spirituality. It's like, bro, then I can open up my chakras or whatever, man, to that and receive that, man, and grow from that, man. I love it, man.
I love
hearing other brothers get on there and sharing their experiences and exchanging knowledge and sharing books and all this stuff. It's a powerful thing, man. I love it, man. I love it.
It is, man. Yeah, and I feel you on being an empath because I am too, man. I can get drained. And so that's why I used to reach out to you. And I do still reach out to you periodically, say, hey, man, you need a break because listen to you, you know, more of it can be an introvert and an empath. I said, man, that's me. I said, I know this brother. I said, I know this brother.
Yeah.
If he's anything like me, I know he has to be drained because he takes in all the energy. So I said, let me tag this brother out for a night. That's why I do it, man. It ain't even a highlight me. Like, it's still like, I just know, man, this brother is an empath like me. I know he need a break, brother. I know he does.
Yeah, man.
So I feel you on that, man. Now, speaking of the power circle, brother, man, I don't know if you want to answer this, you know, on here, but often, man, I get hit up by women saying, when y'all gonna do co-op? When y'all gonna do a co-op? Or when y'all gonna do something for the women? I got the same thing with the book, man. A toast to the men. When y'all gonna do a toast to the women? I got the same. So I knew this was coming. What, you got any plans, or even if you want to answer that?
Well, I mean, we can talk. Like it's weird because over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've had a number of women asking me that, you know, and I've had a couple of women that went through the website and signed up. And through the little screen, and I said, hey, you know, like, you know, this is all men. It would help. Like, my bad. And they had to refund them. They had to, you know, back on out.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, like, we want to be engaged. I mean, think about this, bro. Yeah. Think about this.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't too many men moving like this, saying, you know what? Right. Like we are a group of men that can go to a room and everybody's in a state of, man, let's just learn and grow and be great.
Right.
Brother, it ain't a lot of men moving like that. Most groups of men are still pointing the fingers, still playing the blame game on why the world is doing that. So women, even though they can't see us, They know right. we're moving like that. They see small clips. They I'm not saying they want to be engaged in men like for relationship purpose. Right. They just want to be in spaces with men like that and want to grow from men like that to even be able to identify what a good solid brother looks like.
Yes.
So I think it's important, man. Like, and I've been thinking about this for the last week or two strong. Like, and I don't think. Well, this is my thing. I think that the power circle is a sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's so sacred that it's very, I think we got to be very careful on just, all right, you know what, women come in and boom, boom, boom. But to have some kind of, maybe once a month, I don't know, some kind of, maybe a separate circle or where we can kind of come in the room and,
right.
and do, I think we need to do something at some point.
Yeah, we definitely need to do something, man. I had a discussion, an in-depth discussion this past Sunday with two business partners, two females business partners, and we got to talking about that. And one of them, I know she's gonna listen to this, but one of them was like, I want to join the power circle. I was like, nah, you can't join the power circle. Like, why not? You know? And I said, well, several reasons. I gave the reasons. Because brothers really can't be vulnerable and open up if a woman's in there, I don't believe. But like you said, it's sacred, man. The power circuit is sacred. And the topic that was coming up this past Sunday, how to get your pockets off of lean. What was it? I said, now you would be, you would be a good person to be in this conversation because you've mastered that. I said, but it's still for men. I said, but I'm going to reach out to my guy, so, and we're going to come up with something.
We have to, man. What do you think we should be at? Another room? What do you think, bro?
It should, you know, this is what I told her, and I got this from you. I stole this from you, borrowed this from you, and which I told her. I said, you know, the thing with adding women to the power circle also is because we got some brothers in there are in the healing process. And it's somewhat red pill. And I said, and I got this from you. I said, now there is a space, a space for red pill people. And that is a space that I think men need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you say a lot. And I believe that men need to go through that space. I said, but the problem is, you can't take a person that's in that red pill space at the time and put them in a room with women.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an explosion.
Right.
Yes. I said, so what we got to do, we got to get people that's not in that state, and we'll take on people that's coming out of that red pill state, and then they can all be in the same room, and it won't be so contentious. It won't be volatile, clashing, you know. I said, so we got to be very careful with that, man. But, you know, we definitely, me and you definitely dive into it. That's something I really want to do. We need to do.
Yeah.
We got to do that, man.
Big time.
They're waiting, man.
Yeah, we need to get on that ASAP, man, to be honest.
ASAP, brother. ASAP, man. But what are some of the upcoming projects you got? I know you got a book coming out. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it unless you want to talk about it. But what are some things you can share with us?
Well, yeah, I definitely got the book, man. Unlocking the God. It'll definitely be out this spring, which I guess spring is between March 20th and June sometime. So it'll be out in that time frame. But it's been a work in the process, man, because it's like I wanted to experience some things. Like you know, I was writing this thing, and it was almost like I was trying to, you know, I was living it at the same time while I'm communicating with God. You know, I'm writing it at the same time, man. So it's been a process, man. I ain't gonna lie, but it's like my heart is in this thing, bro.
Wow.
And the goal of this, man, like the goal of this, it goes back to my mission, man. Which my life mission is one, you know, to bridge the gap between brothers. Like I talk about that whole single parent household thing, you know, where those are just a gap of time where men and young men wouldn't communicate.
Right.
You know, it's just like a gap, but like missing. So now it's like bridging that gap. And two, my main mission is really uncovering the veil, man, that's over a lot of people's eyes when it comes to spirituality. You know, when it comes to things that religion have taught us, when it comes to practices and just things that we believe that we've been told. Like, if this book is really to uncover that, man, and it's gonna be a lot of stuff in there, man, that conflicts with a whole lot of stuff, but it's gonna make sense, man. So it's really about just unlocking that God, tapping into that full. Like I said earlier, like, a lot of people are worshiping either light or dark energy. It's gonna send us past that and tap into that all.
Yes.
You know, because I think the majority of people aren't tapping into that, man. You know.
Yeah, you're right.
So I got that going on, man. A couple of ebooks I'll be putting together, like right after that. They're already ready, but I don't want to put them out, and then I want to wait on this other book to come out first. The recipe, the path, and Beauty Face of Evil, all those are going to be converted to books after this other come out, man. So,
oh, wow,
that's what I'm working on now, man. I'm still trying to expand, you know, the YouTube channel.
Right.
You know, just moving in that direction, bro.
Man, beautiful thing. I'm waiting on that book, brother. I'm waiting on that book, man. I know it's going to be powerful, brother. I know it is. Yeah. Well, brother, I really enjoyed you, man. I really did. So, man, this was an honor, man. It was natural. It was organic. You know, man, this is how we chop it up, though. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, we just letting people witness it. But that's nothing new, man. Yeah, that's nothing. We letting y'all eavesdrop, man. So it's nothing new. But, brother, can you leave us with some words or nuggets of wisdom, man? Can you do that for us as we go out?
Man, I would just say, kind of again, what we've been saying, man, like all is love. Like God is love, man. It's just like if every man and woman just seeks like that love in that deepest part, man, it fixes everything. It heals all wounds. It heals our toxic relationships. It heals our trauma from the past. It teaches us how to forgive. It teaches us how to create. It teaches us how to respond to our brothers and sisters. It's like, man, just tapping into love, which you can call it God, you know, like you said earlier, like God is love, or just call it raw love. And once you tap into love, like it answers all things, man. Right. All things, brother.
All things. There you go, brother. Again, love, respect, brother, honor. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man.
Is it not written in your law that ye are gods? You understand what I'm saying? So it just depends on what level you own based on whether you're human or whether you're immortal.